ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतपदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनतं वितं त्वं सजीवम् सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपदं सहगनाललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपीश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुति देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत् नस्तप्रयशभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवतीतमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे I'd like to request everyone to kindly fold your hands and repeat the two following mantras. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This second mantra, you have to listen a little carefully. You may not be familiar with it. Om Sri Sarabhyay Namaha. Om Sri Sarabhyay Namaha. Om Sri Sarabhyay Namaha. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripat Maham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Yatkripat Maham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam. also would like to welcome everyone to the morning Bhagavatam class. Bhagavatam class, we should understand, we should try to understand, is one of the most important activities that devotees are meant to perform every single day. As we recite one of the prayers, by regularly hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, all within the heart will become cleansed and we will be able to advance nicely in Krishna consciousness. Whenever we attend Bhagavatam class, we should remember that we are following a very ancient tradition that has been going on since time immemorial, and it is also considered one of the topmost devotional activities, because the essence, we could say the essence of life, the essence of dharma, is especially presented in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. During the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while Lord Chaitanya was inaugurating the Harinam Sankirtan, especially in Bengal, there was a very prominent personality by the name of Shankara, who was introducing on a very large scale the Srimad Bhagavatam in the state of Assam. And he would have everyone place the Srimad Bhagavatam on the altar as a worshipable deity, because actually Bhagavatam is deity, non-different from Krishna. Unfortunately, this Shankara was not properly connected and was only speaking about Krishna, which is of course very good, but he was omitting Radha. So this morning we are hearing from the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Churning of the Milk Ocean. Yeah. Text 25, correct? Tasyaha Sriyas Tri Jagato Janako Jananya Vaksho Nivasam Akarot Paramam Vibhute Srihi Swaha Prajaha Sakaru Ne Sakaru Neena Nirikshanena Yatra Stitai Dhyayata Sadhi Patims Trilokan. Tasya Sriyastri Jagato Janako Jananya. Vaksho Nivasham Akarot Paramam Vibhute. Sriswa Praja Sakaru Nena Nirikshanena. Yatra Stipai Dhyayata Sadipatim Strilokan. I will go directly to the word for word. Tasyaha, of her. Sriyaha, the goddess of fortune. Tri Jagataha, of the three worlds. Janakaha, the father. Jananyaha, of the mother. Vakshaha, bosom. Bosom. Nivasam, residence. Akarot, maid. Paramam, supreme. Vibhute, of the opulent. Srihi, the goddess of fortune. Swaha, own. Prajaha, descendants. Sakarunena, with favorable mercy. Nirikshanena, by glancing over. Yatra, wherein. Stita, staying. Aidhayata, increased. Saadipatin, with the great directors and leaders. Trilokan, the three worlds. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The personality of Godhead is the Father of the three worlds, and His bosom is the residence of Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the proprietor of all opulences. The goddess of fortune, by her favorable and merciful glance, can increase the opulence of the three worlds, along with their inhabitants and their directors, the demigods. Kindly repeat after me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Father of the three worlds, and His bosom is the residence of Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the proprietor of all opulences. The goddess of fortune, by her favorable and merciful glance, can increase the opulence of the three worlds, along with their inhabitants and their directors, the demigods. Purport. According to the desire of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, the Supreme Personality of Godhead made His bosom her residence, so that by her glance she could favor everyone, including the demigods and ordinary human beings. In other words, since the goddess of fortune stays on the bosom of Narayana, she naturally sees any devotee who worships Narayana. When the goddess of fortune understands that a devotee is in favor of devotional service to Narayana, she is naturally inclined to bless the devotee with all opulences. The karmis, in bracket non-devotees, try to receive the favor and mercy of Lakshmi, but because they are not devotees of Narayana, their opulence is flickering. The opulence of devotees who are attached to the service of Narayana is not like the opulence of karmis. The opulence of devotees is as permanent as the opulence of Narayan himself. So here in the purport, there is mention of the merciful glance. Unless we receive the merciful glance and the favor of the devotees of the Lord, unless we are favored by those who are fully, completely surrendered to the Lord, it means that we cannot directly approach the Lord. We cannot directly receive the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains how, and this is being made reference to here, everyone is after opulence, Lakshmi. But everyone or most people want Lakshmi without Narayana, and it just doesn't work. And of course, Lakshmi for a devotee or opulence is not simply in the form of material wealth. A real opulence, real wealth, is never flickering. Real wealth for a devotee is something that is permanent. A real wealth is actually getting the opportunity to engage in the service of the Lord. It's very interesting how in the beginning of this chapter, the churning of the ocean, different living entities appear. If you go back, those who were reading at the beginning of the chapter, the first living entity to appear when the churning of the ocean was going on was Mother Surabhi. And it's kind of interesting because there's a connection between Lakshmi and Surabhi. I think being here in India, most people from India know how once upon a time after all the different demigods, so many demigods wanted to take shelter of the body of Mother Surabhi, Lakshmi Devi came along and also wanted to be to receive the mercy of Mother Surabhi and requested to be somewhere in her body, but there was no more place. Everything was filled up, occupied. And then she was told that there's only one place available, and it's really the last place. Take it or leave it. And that place, of course, we know, is the cow dung in Mother Surabhi. That's why cow dung is considered as Lakshmi. And there's a whole very deep significance to that as well. So real opulence will come when we actually, as the Goddess of Fortune demonstrates by her own example, she is always on the chest of her beloved, Lord Narayan. And she is seeing and observing those who are actually endeavoring to serve Narayan. And to those individuals who are sincerely trying to serve, she throws her favorable glance. Or as we've heard before also, Srila Prabhupada explaining how we cannot get the mercy of Krishna unless we are recommended by Krishna's most beloved, Srimati Radharani. Same philosophy, same understanding. So this is actually something that we need to understand, both in terms of the spiritual dimension. In other words, we will become spiritually enhanced, spiritually opulent, spiritually fulfilled when we engage in activities for the pleasure of the Lord, number one. And also, secondly, we will also become materially opulent when we follow, honor, and respect the natural arrangement created and given by the Lord in terms of how we should be living. We were touching on this yesterday in our presentation on the seminar Vedic Sociology, which is most important for every single devotee within our ISKCON society. We have to be very cautious. Opulence is not simply how much we have in our bank balance. We have many big temples, especially here in India. And there are so many activities, so many wonderful preaching activities At the same time, we know, we should know, we need to remind ourselves that opulence on the material platform in our Vedic context, in our Vedic culture, is determined especially in how much of land, how much of food grains, how much of cows we are maintaining. Especially in our world context today, we all know, since quite a few years, we are going through very serious global economic crisis. Actually, we are going through all kinds of crises, not only economical. And many, many years ago, especially those who are older devotees, will recall how Srila Prabhupada on many, many occasions was trying to make us understand what is the real the real opulence in terms of material life, in terms of material, we could say, even occupations. And this is a very major area that is practically unknown, we could say, in the world today by most leaders. In other words, Krishna's instructions, Krishna's formula that he is giving in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of how we should be living materially speaking, if not followed, which is the case today, will simply result in chaotic condition. And this is also important not only for persons who are, as mentioned here, karmis or materialistic, but also for devotees. We should be very cautious to understand that the real and full favor and mercy of the Lord will come when we honor and respect and put into practice the various directives and instructions given by the Lord. ISKCON, as an international society, therefore has a tremendous responsibility. Actually, all of us, we have celebrated last year the Golden Jubilee, 50 years of ISKCON established. And ISKCON has definitely accomplished many wonderful activities. At the same time, there are certain areas that are yet to be taken up, we could say, as desired by Srila Prabhupada. So this is an important lesson that is being, or important message being conveyed here this morning, that in order to get the full reciprocation or the full attention of the Lord, we have to be recommended by the Lord's devotees. We have to please the Lord's devotees, and the foremost for all of us, the foremost of all those devotees, is the founder Acharya of our society. This is one of the Vedic, principles that Srila Rupa Goswami is teaching us. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Sri Rupa Goswami prays, when will that day come when I can fully understand and appreciate the innermost desires of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? In a similar way, we could say, are duty bound as members of ISKCON, as followers of Srila Prabhupada. Our success, our full success, will come when we are able to fully and more deeply understand this mission given to us by Srila Prabhupada. It just reminds me a little bit how for many years before Srila Prabhupada left India to go to the West, he was actually waiting to see if anybody would take up this mission of introducing Krishna consciousness in the Western countries. And then as time went by, Srila Prabhupada in different ways could understand that actually it was left on his shoulders. And he, in a very ideal way, as we all know, took up full-heartedly what most other persons thought was impossible, isn't it? No one at that time really understood the order of Lord Chaitanya to introduce the holy name in every town and village. But Srila Prabhupada, he took it literally, as we know. And because of his full faith and determination, full conviction in the words of his own spiritual master and in the mission of Lord Chaitanya, against, we could say, against all odds. We all know the history and the circumstances behind which Srila Prabhupada ventured to the West. And because of that, although initially he was, materially speaking, not at all opulent, rather the opposite, but Krishna reciprocated and gave all facility, gave all opulence to make this mission successful. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada was able to attract the benediction, the mercy of his own spiritual master, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Krishna, by completely, fully surrendering to their instructions. In a similar way, we are duty bound as members of ISKCON to fully understand the many very important instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. And if we do that, then we can understand that the mercy, the full mercy or more mercy will be forthcoming as well. So this should be the it's mentioned actually by Narada Muni in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, very nicely explaining how anyone who is a devotee his first and foremost duty and responsibility is to try and meditate upon the meaning of dharma. I'll just share this quote, which is very, very important, in the 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 7. Dharma mulam hi bhagavan sarva veda mayo harihi smiritam cha tadvidam rajan yena chatma prasidati. This word, smiritam cha, as Srila Prabhupada translates as meditating. Devotees are meant to be constantly thinking about meditating, how to execute, how to realize the mission of the Lord, isn't it? The Lord's mission is our mission, and the more we endeavor to realize this mission of the Lord, then there will be direct reciprocation from the Lord. There will be direct reciprocation from His representative also, in our case, Srila Prabhupada. So I'll just end on this point to leave a few minutes, since we have many exalted devotees here whom I'd like to share some thoughts on this particular verse and purport. We are, all of us, somehow extremely fortunate to have come in contact and to be part of this, still, we could say, unfolding mission. And now we have passed 50 years, which is a very significant milestone. We should be thinking about, and actually we are in different ways, our leaders within our society are having so many discussions in terms of how to prepare the second and third generation to take up this mission, because persons like myself who are sitting here this morning will not be here for a long time, and therefore we should know that this is the most important mission, as explained by Srila Prabhupada, and the only mission, the only true welfare activity that can turn the direction of this, as Prabhupada would say, misguided world. So we should always keep in mind this very, very, we could say, heavy responsibility that we all have. And all of you are very fortunate here in Bombay, especially because Bombay is a place where, a little bit like Vrindavan also, you know, there are many festivals or meetings, people come, we get to see especially older devotees, like this morning, just right after Mangal Arati, Jananivas Prabhu, somehow we just met, he was on his way out back to Mayapur. We have still many such stalwart devotees who have been serving so wonderfully for so many years. Yadubar Prabhu, who's here, serving also very nicely. So, most important for us to fully understand Srila Prabhupada's mission, and this is something we'll be addressing during discussions today and also in the next few days during this seminar. I don't want to take more time than this right now, I don't know, there's about maybe 10 minutes left. I'd like to invite any either comments or questions on what we have heard or discussed this morning. Yes. Revati Raman Prabhu ki jai. Is there a mic? Yeah, it's just coming right here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Can you explain more about spiritual opulence you mentioned? Spiritual opulence.
Spiritual opulence.
Yeah, because it's a very rare word. People don't talk about it. Generally, we don't hear much about the spiritual opulence. Can you explain more about that?
Is it? Well, we should know. I think everyone heard the question. We hear sometimes about spiritual opulence, but apparently we don't talk about it sufficiently. Huh? Yeah, I mentioned spiritual opulence. Well, the whole text is dealing with opulence, you know. Spiritual opulence. Someone who is a devotee, regardless of his or her material situation, can become extremely spiritually opulent simply by immersing oneself, himself, herself in bhakti. Bhakti is that spiritual opulence. Surrender, service, that is spiritual opulence. Spiritual opulence is anything which is evoking, awakening what is natural for us as spirit souls. It can take many forms, but naturally it is especially has to do with, we could say, you know, feelings and sentiments that one experiences as one puts into practice what we call the science of bhakti or the science of devotional service. So spiritual opulence are actually the various qualities that devotees develop, isn't it? There are references by our acharyas. Our Vaishnava acharyas speak about how devotees garland themselves, you know, with their garland are the different wonderful qualities that they develop simply by, again, reviving their original nature. In the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, I mean, the beginning of that spiritual opulence is being referred to when Narada Muni speaks about the 30 qualities, isn't it? 30 qualities that must be developed in the human form of life. If we don't develop these 30 qualities, and these are like a prerequisite to coming to the spiritual, transcendental, divine platform, where we, that is mentioned, of course, in the Nectar of Devotion, 64 qualities. All living entities have these qualities, but at present they are, we could say, hidden or covered. So spiritual opulence is, you know, the beginning of that spiritual opulence is Jiver Swarup Hoy Krishna Nityadas. We are by nature the eternal servants of the Lord. And the more we engage through association, through different projects, there's unlimited ways. Srila Prabhupada was a genius in developing and giving us so many ways to spread Krishna consciousness. So this is what actually will attract non-devotees. The more we can display this spiritual opulence. The source of that spiritual opulence, obviously, is Krishna. As Krishna is all attractive, those devotees of Krishna who develop more of these spiritual opulences also become attractive, also attract the non-devotees. I mean, that's our business. Magnet. I think that example is used also. What's the quality of a magnet? It attracts, isn't it? So a devotee is someone whom, if one comes in contact with that person who's a devotee, who's displaying and having some of these spiritual opulences, then people will be attracted. They will benefit immensely. And that is the standing order given to us actually by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially. And I'll, yeah, it's a nice quote to finish on with an audience that we have this morning. Bharat bhumite hoila manusya janamajar janma sarta kodi karapara upakar. First we become fixed up. First we endeavor to develop these natural qualities, and then we engage in para upakar, highest welfare activity, which is to give opportunity to others, isn't it, to develop and to manifest and to display these divine qualities. I'm sure there's a lot more to be said, but I hope it gives answers the question a little bit. Hare Krishna. Any other comment or question? Thank you all very much. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gaura Pimanandi.
We have some books here by His Holiness Bhaktira Goswami Maharaj. A table is kept over here. So, and there are few books and recent book publications also are there. If somebody is interested, you can see. Yeah, the recent book is the My Spiritual Lamentation, and these are the compilations of many ISKCON devotees published by ISKCON Dayavarnashram Ministry. You can have a look here. Thank you. Hare Krishna.